Today, the Massachusetts House starts debate on their version of a bill to make sweeping changes to the police. The House bill has generated controversy and 217 amendments from House lawmakers. We're going to begin today by focusing on two of those amendments that have to do with the use of funds from cannabis revenues. To help us is Shalene Title, one of the commissioners for the state's Cannabis Control Commission. She's largely focused on the equity part of the industry. Welcome back to Radio Boston, Shalene.
Thanks for having me back.
Okay, so let's back up to the beginning of the week. You initially flagged concerns about a provision in the bill that would direct funding from the Marijuana Regulation Fund to police training. Why did you object when that came out?
Well, I think a lot of people, myself included, had a visceral reaction to seeing a reform bill being used to direct cannabis tax revenue to police funding before directing any of that cannabis tax revenue to restorative justice for communities of color targeted by the drug war.
All right, so let's break that down a little. Here's my understanding, Shalene. In the original, when we legalized cannabis, when the legislation that set up our structure, it stated that there would be about 20% of taxes on cannabis sales, about 3% of those that money, the 3% of the 20% would be for localities. There's sales tax somewhere between 6 and 7%, and then a little more than 10% in excise taxes that would go to other uses. And it stated that actually some of it would go to supporting equity work, and some of it would go to police training. So why is this different or more concerning when we have specificity about police training in this bill?
That's right. And I should note also that the money in the fund is subject to appropriation. So it is ultimately up to lawmakers. But I think the question is, when there are five different priorities, and one of them is programming for restorative justice for communities of color, where is that revenue that is supposed to be going to communities of color? It's been 4 years, and myself and community leaders and other commissioners have worked on different proposals to do equity programming, technical assistance, other kinds of initiatives that would give back to these communities. And we've gone through the whole process. Legislators have held hearings, vetted the bills, passed them out of the relevant committees. But it looks like the session is ending with, thus far, no action on those bills or those provisions. So to see police funding in that context, it strikes a chord.
All right, so there's a lot there, and I want to break it out. Do you have a problem in principle with there being funding for police training coming from the Marijuana Regulation Fund, especially if that funding were to support police training that might lead to better outcomes in law enforcement interactions with communities of color, people of color, et cetera?
Well, that's not ultimately up to me. I think that the law specifically allows municipal police training. So of course it makes sense that you would follow the law, but the law also directs the revenue to those communities of color. So it really raised the question, where is that revenue?
Okay, so let's stay with that now. You talked about the five priorities. Those include public health, public safety, municipal police training, as we've just discussed, illness prevention, and assistance for communities hardest hit by the war on drugs. The Globe did a report in February this year that found that while that money has been, I don't know if amassing is the right word, maybe accruing is the right word, so far it's only been directed to public health. So now Representative Liz Miranda has another amendment that's been proposed to the police reform bill that would direct an equal or greater amount of money from the Marijuana Regulation Fund to programming for restorative justice, jail diversion, and workforce development. If that goes through and there's an equal or greater amount directed for those efforts, would that be sufficient? And is that pairing a good outcome from your perspective coming out of this legislative process?
From my perspective, that is a good outcome. I think it's a good step toward making good on the promise that was made to communities of color. I think it also demonstrates that when people made clear that they felt it was an unacceptable use of that revenue to fund police before equity, that they were heard. And it makes a lot of sense the way that this amendment directs the revenue to police training, but also in an equal or greater amount towards equity. That seems appropriate for a reform bill.
So, Shalene, at its heart, is this a conversation that is about whether or not we've got a coherent approach to the legacy of marijuana and cannabis policy in the Commonwealth and our specific desire to create equity and reform as we made cannabis legal?
Absolutely. That is the big picture question. And it's relevant that Massachusetts voters passed the first marijuana legalization law in the nation to include significant equity measures as a key piece of the law. But now it's 4 years later, we have not made much progress, and we're actually lagging far behind other states that have awarded, for example, $40 million in cannabis equity grants in California, or 25% of tax revenue to disproportionately harmed communities in Illinois. So I think communities of color shouldn't need to wait any longer.
So we talked to Steve Hoffman here on Radio Boston, the Cannabis Control Commissioner Steve Hoffman, a year ago, and he was frustrated by the pace of legislative change to achieve some of these goals back in August. Here he is.
I would love to see it move faster, and I'm frustrated that sometimes it takes as long as it does, but, you know, it is what it is. And, you know, the good news is that there's energy and we're making progress. The bad news is we're not where we need to be yet.
So there's been a goal to get the legislature to pass a loan fund for equity candidates for marijuana or cannabis licenses. Most recently, you urged the commission to write to the legislature to request money from the $200,000 in fines from some marijuana companies to support equity initiatives. Are you getting progress on those things from the state house, from legislators?
I do think, yes, there has been significant progress, but the chairman is absolutely right that it needs to move faster because it's been 4 years. So how long are these communities supposed to wait?
And just to clarify, this week, Commissioner Hoffman noted that while more than 70 provisional licenses have been granted to social equity and economic empowerment and disadvantaged business enterprise applicants, only three have opened. What is at the heart of that?
I think it's a number of things that we have identified, and we have sought to work on solutions in collaboration with the legislature. So one thing is access to capital, which is why we have called for a loan fund. One thing is host community agreements and local approval, which is why we've asked for the authority to enforce host community agreements. And the last important thing is technical assistance, which is why we've asked for, or at least I've asked for, that ability to use donations and fines to expand our equity program.
And I just do want to mark this host community agreements issue again, because we have heard in our coverage here on Radio Boston over the last year or two some real frustration with the speed and nature of the fact that we are authorized at a state level, but host communities control quite a bit in terms of who can open when and how. Do you see progress on bringing host communities more in line with the original objectives at the Commonwealth level for legalizing marijuana?
I do see progress. It was very heartening to see the bill that would give us that authority passing the House. But as you mentioned, out of 70 provisional licenses that have been granted, only three have been able to open. Only one of those is Black owned. And I think it's really on us to make sure that just seeing progress isn't enough, because the results are what matter.
And before I let you go, because I know this is an issue that has come up repeatedly, we've talked about a number of policy measures here, allocations of funds, et cetera. We have also heard repeatedly that with marijuana being illegal federally, it is very difficult for entrepreneurs to get loans, to get the capital they need if they don't already have it, to open a business, whether it's a store or a delivery business. What will it take here in the Commonwealth to create a flow of capital that allows those who were intended to be prioritized in opening businesses to do so.
There is a bill that addresses that very issue. It's Senate Bill 2650, and the Joint Committee on Cannabis put a lot of work into designing what that fund would look like. And I agree that having startup capital available is probably the number one thing we could do to assist these businesses and fulfill the obligations of the Commonwealth.
Shalene, your term is up, current term is up in September. What happens then?
I have been so busy with regulations and licenses and this that I haven't had time to think about it.
All right. Well, that is Shalene Title, one of the commissioners for the state's Cannabis Control Commission. Shalene, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.